Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about a way to make money that we haven't really talked about in the past, which is running a virtual event. Now, yeah, Tony and I, we were... What?
I was going to say, can we talk about that you're broadcasting remotely today?
Oh, yes. There's no power
yeah.
where I'm at. For some reason, like the weather around here has been really weird.
Okay.
It was super windy yesterday. I mean, we're talking 50 to 70 mile per hour winds. And I think it just destroyed all these trees. On our feeder street, one of the electrical poles fell. And so that's why our whole neighborhood doesn't have power.
Yeah. I feel like it's back when you were a kid, you know, when the radio station would like go to the mall and broadcast, or like a local restaurant, and you could like go and look at your favorite like radio station person. That's why I feel like you are right now. You're like broadcasting live from Bumblebee Linens.
I had to lug all of my stuff here because the slides that I'm giving are on this desktop machine.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's
that's
silly.
Actually anyway. That's what brought it up, because Steve was telling me that he said, I had to bring my desktop to Bumblebee. And I said, why wouldn't you just put your slides on your laptop? And he said, because I don't have any power to get them on my laptop. I was like, yeah, that's probably a prerequisite. That's why you need a generator.
Not all of us can have the luxuries of having a generator.
That's right.
So,
but the slides are for a virtual event that you're doing tomorrow.
That's correct. Actually, the slides are for office hours today.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
So you agreed to do this virtual event, and it got me thinking about virtual events in general. We have several friends that do them. Our friend Chase does them. Kevin Sanderson has done a ton of virtual events. I think Scott Volker might have done one at some point. It seems familiar to me.
And we were forced to do a virtual event not too long ago.
Yes, we were forced to do Seller Summit virtual, although that did not start out as a virtual event. So I thought this would be an interesting topic because we do have a live event in Seller Summit, which is very different from a virtual event. And I would say if you're thinking about getting into events, a virtual event is a great place to start.
You know, after running Seller Summit, I'm not sure if I agree.
Really? Okay.
Well, I did not enjoy running Seller Summit virtually. Maybe it's because we were forced to do it like 3 weeks before the actual event.
Right. Yeah, it's a little different.
Or it was the fact that I was in front of a computer for 10 hours a day.
Yes.
For two straight days.
Well, I wasn't talking about like the happiness factor as much as I was talking about. So, yes. Okay. So let's talk about happiness factor. Live events, no substitution for those. Is even great virtual events don't sub out for live interaction in person. I was actually at our hotel this past weekend, checking out the area, doing some inquiries into offsite events. And I was at the little Mexican restaurant at the bottom of the hotel where everyone would hang out, you know, after the sessions and stuff. And I was like, I miss everybody so much. But anyway, we'll be there in 2 months. And so, yes, the fun factor definitely is in the live events in person. But the virtual events, I would say, are potentially more profitable, as well as huge less financial risk and a lot less work.
A lot less work on your end, not my end.
Right? No, I would say a lot less work in everybody's end.
Oh, you think so?
Well, because think about it. When we ask someone to speak at Seller Summit, you know, they have to travel to the area.
That's true.
They have to spend time away from their family. Like, it's a big ask. Even if it's a paid speaking gig, it's a lot to like have to travel, you know, take time away from your family, away from your business, right? Whereas a virtual event, like tomorrow, you're speaking at this virtual event and you're literally showing up, doing one session, and then you're done, correct?
That's correct. But yep. I mean, to be fair, I don't think the impact of my speaking will have nearly as much effect as like a live speaking gig, right?
I think you can learn just as much. You don't think so?
No, for example, speaking at a virtual event is much less prestigious than speaking at a live event.
Oh, for
like
the speaker.
You don't reach... Yeah, for the speaker, yes. For the speaker.
That's totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But as far as commitment, and if... I would say if you're a speaker that sells a product or service or software, virtual events are a great thing to do because there is an impact. If you give a great presentation and you're really knowledgeable, you know, the people that watch the live event or watch the recordings are going to probably follow up with you, especially if you end with an offer, if you're allowed to do that.
So I have actually never run a virtual event, an intentional virtual event.
Yeah.
So let's go over just some of the economics and the business models first, because that's what I find pretty interesting.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is really popular right now is to make your virtual event free. So right. you basically reach out to, 10 to 20 speakers. You ask them to give a, 45 minute to an hour presentation. You ask them to promote it to your list. Like, you've promoted this event to your list. So speakers tend, and I've seen that before, like people tend to promote to their list. And then the way that the event makes money is that you charge if people would like access to the recording. So showing up live and watching the speakers is absolutely free. And then
I was just going to say, getting people to send it out to their list requires a little of incentivization.
Yes. Yes. Right. Sometimes, but yes, I would say go into that with that mindset for sure. And then the way that you would make money with that model is that you charge people to have access to the recordings afterwards.
You know what's funny about this is I don't think this virtual event that I'm speaking at actually charges for the replays.
Well, then what's their money play?
I think they're only, they're a company that runs it, or a collection of companies, I should say,
okay,
that runs it. And I think they just share the email list. And the hope is that the audience runs stores and they can get actual conversions out of it.
Okay. So that would be a totally different play.
Right.
Right. Which is still another business model, right? Because let's come back to that in a second. So first model, charge on the back end.
Charge on the back end.
So the reality is, like, I actually signed up for this event because you begged me to sign up through your affiliate link. But there's a lot of speakers at this event that I'm actually interested in hearing from, the people that I like read their email newsletters or listen to their podcasts, things like that. But the reality is, like, it started 30 minutes ago. Well, obviously I can't watch anything live right now. We're recording a podcast. We have office hours today. I have other work to do. The reality of me being able to watch this live is zero. Right. In general, like, the reality of me being able to take 2 days or even a full day to do a live event as a participant is pretty hard. But if the content is engaging enough for me and something that I feel like is going to help my business, I would be willing to pay to get a replay if within reason. Probably, under $100 is probably my threshold.
Interesting. So I've actually never paid for a virtual recording before.
Right.
The ones that you have experienced, how much do they charge?
It's usually around $99. I've seen people charge more, but that's more of like, that gets into like the seller summit zone where it's like 3 days, lots and lots of speakers, and then that would be like, I've seen ones like $249, $299, but I think under $100 is the sweet spot. I've seen $47, $67, $99, that's kind of the pricing.
Right. So the way I think the speakers are compensated is if you bring someone in, I think you get like 80% of the revenue of that, and they get 20. I think that's how the split typically works.
Yeah. So one of the things that made me think of this is we talked about this with like webinars a long time ago on a webinar episode, is that, if you want to run a webinar, but you don't have a big audience, one of the things you can do is get people to like co-promote with you. Well, this is the same thing with an event. If you have a smaller audience, now I would say this doesn't work if you have no audience, because no one's going to care that you have an event. You have to have some kind of audience to do this. But if you have a smaller audience, but you say, hey, Steve, would you speak at this event? And, you'll get a cut of anyone that purchases the recording afterwards. If it's a good fit for you and you feel like, there's other speakers in there. Also, that works with like the global speaker, right? If you're speaking and like a Nick Shackelford is speaking, or, Austin Bronner, like people like that, where you're like, hey, I kind of like these guys and they're like in my niche and it would be a good fit, like promotional wise, then you're more willing to promote it because you're going to get a cut on the back end too.
I think the way I would do it, if I had no audience, you can probably pull this off if you have a network with no audience,
yeah,
what I would do then is I would say, hey, you guys keep all the money. For anyone you deliver, you keep all the money, but then you keep the email list, right?
So you get the emails of everybody that signs up, and the people that promote it get 100% of the money.
Correct.
So that's more of an email play, not a money play, which still is a good thing because you have a very targeted email list of the people that would potentially like buy your product, services, software, whatever.
I'm just thinking in terms of incentivizing someone to actually want to speak. Right. So like if I'm not your friend and I barely know you.
Which is everybody.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to think what would get me to do that.
Book sales. And book sales.
It would have to be, I would have to recognize some of the other speakers.
Yes.
And I would have to get something out of it, basically. Yeah. Unless I really like this person. But again, if I don't know the person, I'm not going to do it. So.
Right. Now, we're talking in this event that you're doing this week is more of a digital marketing event, I think. I'm not familiar with the company.
It's an e-commerce.
E-commerce company.
The theme of this particular event is the fact that we're in a downturn right now. Mm-hmm. So how are companies staying lean? How are companies saving money? What are the strategies right now in a recession?
Okay. But the cool thing about these virtual events is that I think when you and I think about this, we're thinking of, you know, e-commerce companies, marketing companies, things like that. But you can actually, I've seen these for just about anything. I've seen them for like homemaking. I've seen them for like DIY. I've seen them for plants, like gardening. You can really do these virtual events for any topic. It's basically just think of anything that there would be like a live gathering and put it virtually. So, you know, there's like the home and garden show, right? Every year in my town, I'm sure it's in every town, you know, and you could do that same home and garden show where you got experts in gardening and things like that and brought them on and gave talks. And they all probably have a product or service to sell or something, or they just, you know, would like a cut of the affiliate, you know, revenue if they don't have anything like that to sell. But the cool thing about these virtual programs is that you don't have to be in like the business space to do it. It pretty much works throughout. I've seen a ton of them for homeschooling. So I think you can do this pretty much any vertical that you're in.
So can we talk about some of the other business models? The one we talked about is actually pretty much the only business model I know about.
Right.
To make money with virtual events. What other ways have you seen?
So one of the ways that I've seen is the what you mentioned a few minutes ago where you talked about you don't charge ever for the recordings, but you have a product or service to sell, so you're getting an email list. I saw this a couple years ago with like a homeschool magazine, I think it was, and they wanted to sell subscriptions to their magazine. So if they're running a homeschool event, they're getting literally a whole list of homeschoolers, right, that they probably didn't have access to. All the people that spoke either sold books, products, you know, other homeschooling services. And so they didn't charge for the recordings. What they wanted to do was get those people on the list and then sell them on the magazine subscription. And I think they also had like a membership site as well. So they put people in a flow and, you know, over time tried to convince them to join either their membership program or subscribe to the magazine, a paid subscription.
So does that imply then that every speaker is pitching something?
So no one really, it's similar to Seller Summit a little bit or other events that we've been to where no one is really pitching, but either there can be an offer. So, you know, let's just say, let's use Greg Mercer, for example, right? Like say he goes and gives a talk on, you know, finding profitable products on Amazon. And, you know, at the end of the talk, he's like, hey, you know, here's 2 free months of Jungle Scout, right? So you're not really pitching your product. You're giving people like a freebie and it's not super salesy. The other thing you can do is like get people like, so everyone shares the list, right? So you get the list of all the attendees and then you can market to those people down the road if you have a product or a service.
Interesting. So in this model, every speaker gets the email list?
Yes. And I've seen that pretty frequently. I don't know about the business niche, but I've seen that it's pretty common outside of the business niche.
I can just imagine like you're done with this virtual summit and then all of a sudden you get like 20 emails from people.
Yes. I will say the only good thing about that, if you're outside of the business space, is most of these people aren't super savvy with marketing. So most people don't email anybody. So it's only the savvy ones that email. So it's not as bad as you would think it would be. But yes, obviously, you know, that could be an issue for sure.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, I think I'm trying to think how I would launch my own virtual event. How would you do it if you don't have an audience and you don't know anybody? or maybe you have a small audience. Maybe you have a small audience, but you don't
know. I would get a job at Costco and I would just start earning immediately. If I didn't have an audience and I didn't know a lot of people, I would probably create some sort of very compelling offer for the speakers of the event to get them to promote. So I would get something for them that would really incentivize them to promote on the pre-event, whether it's like what you said, 100% of the revenue, like if I'm charging for the recordings, or giving them the email list, or, you know, anything like that. Anything that I could do to have them help promote me is probably the best angle that I could take, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say that all you really need is like one person.
Yeah.
I think who has a list. And then once you have that one person, you can go up to the next guy and go, hey, I got this one person. And they have an email list of this size, and then go from there. I think that's how a lot of people work in terms of speaking at events, right?
Yeah.
You say, hey, these guys are speaking, and then you want to hang out with those people. You want to be associated with those people.
Right. The other thing that you could do, which is, this takes a lot longer, but you could start by just hosting your own like little mini event, right? Little virtual thing, like basically doing a webinar and just building up some level of traction with a little bit of an audience, and then, you know, use that. And also the other thing I was saying is you could incentivize the audience, right? Like you could incentivize the audience to share and get people to sign up. Like we always talk about the affiliate stuff from just the speaker point of view, but truly, like if you're using an affiliate plugin or something like a WordPress affiliate plugin, it's not that hard to manage. Obviously, paying out's a huge pain in the butt, but a lot of times you can just upload a file to PayPal and things like that. But, you know, you could incentivize your users or your watchers to promote you as well. So you could say, hey, if you get people to sign up, or even do, and like, there's plugins to do all of this, but like if you get three people to sign up, you get the recordings free, right? So getting the actual customer to promote you is a way to sort of build the audience for you.
Interesting. I've never tried that actually. I guess you get a bunch of onesie twosies maybe?
You do get a bunch of onesie twosies, but if you have, I'm talking about if you have nobody.
Got it.
Right?
Okay.
So if you have nobody and you can get 10 people and they tell 10 people, now you've, you know, gone from nobody to 20 people, which isn't bad. Right. So if you sort of take that and scale it, it does work. But that's the thing. If you don't have an audience, you're going to have to grind somehow. So, you know, and certain things lend itself to sharing. Right. Like for me, if I think about like, OK, what's my friend group on Facebook? It would be hard for me to share like a business event on Facebook because that doesn't really jive with a lot of my friend groups, although probably now it does after it's like you come home from ECF or Seller Summit or whatever and you have like 15 friend requests from people at the event, right? Like, so my friend group is changing. But if I was doing something on like, you know, spring cleaning or something like that, that would really mesh with, you know, half of my Facebook friends, right? So that would be something I could share on Facebook and it wouldn't feel icky or like I was promoting it. So you think about other people, like if you're in like the home space or, you know, DIY space, that's more shareable to people like on a friendship level. Whereas for you, you could probably share some sort of like business or marketing thing on your Facebook page. I know you don't do a lot on your own personal page, but that would probably be more applicable, right, to your friend group than somebody else.
So I'm curious, what is the money-making potential here? Do you have any numbers to share?
So what is the money for a virtual event?
Yeah.
I think you could. So I know we have, I mean, I don't want to share who's making what, but I think you can do, you know, 10 to 20,000 on a virtual event if you can knock it out of the park with if you're selling the recordings or you, and you can knock it out of the park with your speakers.
So that means 200 paying customers to make 20K. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's do some back end math here. So what's the conversion? What do you think the conversion rate is on?
So I've heard from people it can be upwards of 10%.
10%?
Yes, but I think that's high. Like, I think that's coming from someone who has a very engaged audience. I would say, you know, you could probably convert, depending on how many speakers you have, you know, what are the topics and your actual vertical, I think you could probably convert 3 to 5%.
Okay, so let's call it 5. So that means, okay. 205. So you need 1,000 people?
To show up for your event?
To show up for the event? Or to get 1,000 signups?
Like, let's talk
or?
About Chase. Like, I know that he has significantly more than that showing up for his live events. Significantly more.
Okay.
So, but let's say we have a one-day event. We have 6 speakers, right? Each speaker has an email list of 50K. We're going for, like, the heavy hitters here, right?
I did the math wrong. I think it's 4,000 people. So 4,000, 5%. Okay. And then if you get a bunch of people, because I know when I do my own webinar, I get about 1,500 signups.
Yeah.
So if you can get double that, right, and convert, and you're getting a lot of value, I guess, since you're getting speakers, a bunch of speakers.
So let's just say there's 6 of you, six chews who are promoting this, and each chew gets 1,500 people. Right, because like there is an appeal of like, oh, there's more than just you talking, right? Like there's, uh-huh. Oh, I've always wanted, or I don't, that sounds interesting. Because you don't, like, you know a lot, but you don't know everything. So it's like, well, this is something that you don't talk about very much, or it's not your area of expertise. So it's like, but I really want to hear this guy.
Right.
So let's just say six of you get 1,500 each. What are we at, 9,000 people?
Yep.
Showing up. So you have 9,000 people, you know, signing up for the webinar. You know, if you convert 5%, what is that?
It's 450. Yeah, 450 times 100. Okay.
The benefit of it is that the cost is, so here's where the math works, right? If you're going to make this part of your business strategy, right? You're going to have a template to email speakers, right? This is all going to be templatized, right? So you're going to have a list probably of people that you want to outreach to or that are in the space that makes sense to like pitch to speak. The technology is not expensive to do this. You can do it on Zoom. You can do it on YouTube Live. Like this isn't, even if you're paying for a platform to do this, you're spending $300, right? It's not expensive.
Probably less than that.
Yeah, I'm just.
I mean, we did virtual seller summit for just the cost of StreamYard, essentially, right?
Yeah, so $25. Yeah. But even if you're like completely tech challenged and you're like, I don't want to set up anything, blah blah blah, you know, let's say $300, right? You're basically spending under $1,000 to run this event. Easy. Like, if you're spending $1,000, you're probably doing something wrong. So basically, your margins are so high on this that if you're doing one of these, you know, every quarter, you're going to, you know, put a significant revenue stream into your business plan. But not only that, you're building your, this is how Kevin Sanderson built his business, right? Like, he started holding these virtual summits. He connected with like top-notch speakers, like you and I both spoke, Brett Curry spoke. I mean, I see all sorts of big-time people on his thing. Not that we're big time, but like, you know, he's getting heavy hitters. He was running them, I think, once a quarter. I don't know exactly what his total business model was because he had a business too right on the side that was getting promoted. So there was that angle for him as well. But he built his whole audience from doing these like collab virtual events, and the cost is next to nothing. And even if you think about it, let's just say you sell hardly any, but you're getting 9,000 people on your list every quarter.
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing.
So you're getting, you know, 30,000+ to 40,000 people on your list every single year that are hyper-targeted to your business, whatever it is, because you're pulling speakers in your niche. So that alone is worth, you know, if you have to spend $1,000 to run events for a year, virtual events, and you got 40,000 email subscribers, you're going to convert some of those email subscribers on whatever product service you're selling outside of the virtual event, right? So it's sort of this, and then you create this you know, flywheel of income, right? Because you have 40,000 new subscribers. Maybe they're signing up under your affiliate links for things. Maybe they're buying products through you. Maybe they're signing up for your digital course that you have, whatever it is. Like, obviously, I wouldn't just do these virtual events with no plan long term. But I think overall, it's a great way, especially when you have a smaller audience, to get started. And not only that, you then become like an expert in the space because you're building relationships with all your speakers too.
Let's talk about the components to make this happen.
I've just sold myself on it. We're going to start doing virtual events.
Why? I'm like, why are we doing a live event?
I know. I'm like, what are we doing? This is so dumb.
I mean, the live event is stressful. It is fun, though. Like, I prefer in person,
it's
obviously.
It's fun for those 3 days.
It's fun for those 3 days. It's miserable for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I did not enjoy the virtual seller summit that we did just because I was stuck in a chair for 10 hours.
Yes. Well, and that was the other thing. It's like we never set out to do a virtual event. Like, we sell virtual passes for Seller Summit, which actually, if you can't make it this year, it's a great way to get all of the sessions, little plug for the virtual pass. But it's great. And like, you know, they're recorded, they're edited, they're high quality content. You get everything the speaker says. But there's that missing component of like the in-person, like hanging out at the Mexican restaurant, going to dinner with people, you know, eating breakfast, you know, all the different components of the live event that you can't replace in virtual. But if it's just about creating the content and the distributing the information, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about the components because I'm sure people listening to this are like, oh, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So I think you just need a live streaming platform.
Yeah.
And I want to say StreamYard's only $25 a month.
$25 a month.
$25 a month. Okay. You probably need an email marketing provider.
Yes.
So let's say ConvertKit. Okay. And then you need a way to, a place to house your recordings, right?
Yes.
What would you recommend for that? Like, I know the way we do it, but.
I don't know any other way. So I would probably, in theory, you could put them on a site like Teachable or Kajabi or any of the like membership sites, right?
But oh yeah, that's true.
We just host them on Word. They're unlisted YouTube videos, right?
For us?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, they're not.
We host them on Amazon S3.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I'm thinking about our course. I'm like, they're.
Our course is hosted on Amazon S3 also.
Yes. But when we do live, when we go live on our course.
Oh, like, yes.
I'm thinking to present. You're saying like after the fact when people
After the fact, yes. Putting them behind a paywall.
Yes. Yeah. So we compress them, put them on Amazon S3, and then upload them to our WordPress site. Not upload them, host them on the, put them on the WordPress site and give people a login. So basically we use a membership plugin. I believe it was a one-time fee of $99.
I think so. I don't remember now. It was a long time ago.
Extra features, but yeah. There are membership plugins for WordPress. I would probably do it that way. But if you are completely tech challenged, you can do all of the same thing with any sort of like membership.
Any course website, right? So like course, a Teachable,
Kajabi, anything like that. But very easily done on WordPress. You don't have to be technical at all to do it on WordPress either. You just need the membership plugin.
I want to say I like Teachable because you don't have to pay a monthly. You'll just get charged like 5%, I think, of your proceeds.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, actually, if you're doing this on a low budget.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else that you need?
So I think the big thing where people are going to get caught is, you know, you're going to, so let's just say you sign up for ConvertKit, and I think you get your first 500 subscribers or free or 1,000. It's like close to free to start. But all of a sudden, you're going to get 10,000 subscribers, let's just say.
Right,
from the event. Or even if you get 5,000 subscribers, you're immediately going to have a ConvertKit bill. So I think the important thing to think about, because you're immediately going to have to start paying money for those people, is to create a sequence or campaign, whatever they call it in ConvertKit, where, you know, once people opt in, you're going to send them a series of emails that sort of introduces them to you, the brand, the things that you're doing. And so that you want to like squeeze some money out of them sooner rather than later, because you're paying for them to be on your list. So what I think a lot of people do is they get all the event side set up, right? And they get everything ready. They reach out to the speakers, they do a great job. But then all of a sudden they have this list and they don't do anything with the list, or they do very minimal, you know, work with the list. And then all of a sudden they're 6 months in and they've been paying $75 a month and they haven't been able to convert people on the list because they didn't have a strategy.
I think what I would do is I would just start selling the virtual passes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say something like, hey, I've got 20 speakers and they're going to be consecutive. If you can't make it right now with this email, you can get them for like 25% off or something like that.
So that's what Chase did. The one that I bought from him was $69 or $67. I don't remember. And when he promoted it the first time, he was like, I'm doing this, you know, email marketing summit or whatever summit it was. And it's like, if, you know, if you're not going to be right now, you can get the recordings for $67. Afterwards, it's going to be $225 or something like that. It was like a big difference. And I was like, I know myself. I know I'm not going to watch this live. It actually conflicted with some another work thing that I had. So I was like, well, I'm definitely not going to be able to do it. So I like literally bought it when I signed up. And he did a really good job of like, so you sign up for the virtual summit, you pay immediately for the recordings, and then you're immediately sent to the squeeze page where there's another upsell, right? Of like, would you like this bonus XYZ? And this is the other thing is you can bonus like speakers stuff, right? Especially if they have like an entry level product or service, like, you know, you couldn't squeeze page your course, right? Because that's, people aren't going to like on a whim be like, oh, you sure I have $2,000 I can just drop. But let's say you had, you know, like, let's say you took your Amazon mini course and turned it into like a paid thing or your drop shipping thing. And you were like, you know, learn how or not drop print on demand. You're right. Like, learn how to print on demand for $47, blah, 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 and that's on the squeeze page. But now it's only $27, right? And maybe you get all the profit from that, right, from the event. Like, they pay it to you. So, like, there's all these little ways that you can make money as you go along. But I think when you do that, I think offering the recordings from the beginning at a cheaper price is a good thing. And then as the event's coming up, like, increase the price of those recordings. Like, hey, last chance to get them at $67, it's going up to $87 or whatever the price jump you want it to be until the event happens. Even the first day of the event, like, hey, if you're unable to hit this, you know, $99 for the recordings. And then afterwards, you're going to obviously sell them for more. But then use either your own stuff or your speaker stuff to hit people on a squeeze page after they pay for the recordings because people are already got their wallets out.
So walk me through the Chase's funnel since I didn't go through it. So you sign up for free, yep. Then yep. You get hit up for the recordings for $69.
Yep.
If you buy that, you get another upsell, or no matter what, you get another upsell if you choose not to buy it.
I think there was, I don't know, because I bought it.
Okay. So you bought it, but and then what was the offer after you bought it? Do you remember? I guess you didn't buy the upsell.
I didn't buy the upsell. And I could be mixing up Chase's with someone else's, but like I know that this is a very common thing to do is like you hit people with an upsell afterwards. It doesn't have to be your stuff. It can be someone else's stuff. And then I would continue with that through the whole process, right? Like as the event's coming up and you could even like do a bundle of, especially for the people who buy the recordings ahead of time, like, people that do that are more likely to spend again. So, you know, hit them up pre-sale, like, hey, kind of like everybody bundles stuff. Like when you do any sort of promotion where it's like, hey, you get all these bonus products worth $497. You can get them for $49, whatever. You can hit people with that sort of stuff all through the process before the webinar starts. And then after it's over, you can continue. But just I would change the pricing on it. I would incentivize people to do it ahead of time.
Right. I mean, I can see the appeal. I guess most of the work doing this mm-hmm. is getting people together to speak at a certain time
yep.
and making sure people are on time with their talks.
Well, here's the other thing. Kevin Sanderson, we recorded our talk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We pre-recorded it. You're right.
Yeah. Now, I do think experience-wise for the user, like live is better and to have people do Q&A. Right. But I think if there's a really great speaker that you want and it's like, let's say Shailene Johnson, she's like, well, I can pre-record something. Absolutely. Like pre-record it. Right. Get that in there or someone, you know, like that. But I would say, and then the other thing you could also do, which is something that you and I, you've tried, with Profitable Online Store is you could even offer like a VIP, right? Like you want a VIP with our speakers. Like if you're getting your speakers to be live, right, then like give people the VIP pass for Q&A.
Right. You know, I've actually never attended one at Kevin's. Like, we're always, like, contributing videos and whatnot.
Yeah, we always just contribute.
But. We just record a video and then we just let it go. But so does that imply that he just goes on live and just plays the video?
I would assume so. I don't know. I've never seen the
So it's recorded earlier, but it's played live. And then as soon as it's done played live, there's no questions and that's it.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
But not all virtual events do Q&A. Just like not all live events do Q&A.
I think every single virtual event that I've done has a Q&A. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe it's just, I don't do a whole lot of these, I guess. Maybe like two or three a year.
I think it's always good to do a Q&A for people. I think it engages people. It keeps people on, right? Like if they know there's questions at the end, they stay on till the end. So I think it's good for like engagement. But I don't think it's a necessity. Like, I think if you're starting out, like, definitely make that your goal. But I don't think that is, like, if you can't do that, then that's not a reason not to do it.
Yeah. And then you end up with a big email list. And there's definitely a lot of pros to doing this because you're leveraging other people's list.
The cons, the two main cons, I would say, is, one, you do have to sit in front of your computer for, like, 3 days straight or 2 days straight. And you know, there's, if you don't have a big list, you've got to convince people to like buy into whatever you have, right? So like your speakers are getting people, but those are their people. So you have to now convince this audience that like, hey, come check me out. I'm awesome. You know, which I don't necessarily think is tough, but this isn't like no work, right? This is something that you have to work to do, but I think the work for like the work for the benefits pretty good. I mean, because I would say, I'm just thinking through all the steps, you could set this up easily in probably like 25 to 30 hours. You could have everything like from speaker outreach to setting up the tech to creating email funnels afterwards to writing a sales page. I mean, aside from like setting up the website, like if that's not your thing, that'll take you a little bit of time, but like it's not a huge time investment.
I think for every speaker, then, if they're going to take a cut or the entire revenue, you'd probably just need to create a separate sign-up form for each of them, separate lander for each of them.
Yeah.
Which leads to a different list. That's how you keep pages. Track. Yeah. Yeah. You're just cloning pages. And there's all these like little details. Like, what if someone signed up for multiple lists? I guess you'd just take the first one. Yeah. This doesn't seem that hard.
When's your next virtual event?
If I didn't have to sit by the computer for two straight days, like I remember Seller Summit, it literally was morning until evening, and I just sat there, and so did you, right? I guess we could have taken shifts.
Yes, we didn't have to both be there.
Yeah.
It was just both COVID sadness. But like, think about this: we have our event manager Brian, who like is our on-site person at Seller Summit, right? He's dealing with the hotel, making sure people are where they need to be. When COVID hit and all the events went virtual, he did this virtually. So instead of me and you sitting in front of the computer, like he was the one sitting in front of the computer managing the event, making sure the speakers like sound checking them before they're supposed to go live. Like, so if you get to the point where you can hire someone, it's just hiring an event person. Not just because it's like you got to get a good person to do it, but it's not like you would have to be the person to sit there. You could hire that job out and it's completely virtual.
All right, sign me up. So like, Brian's in, you said?
Yeah, Brian's in. And I think that it's definitely, I would say if you're thinking about doing something like this, it's definitely worth trying. Because the only thing you really have to lose in this is your time. You're not going to be out a lot of money if it doesn't perform to your expectations.
And then the other thing that we didn't even talk about is you can get sponsors for this too, right?
Well, that's a whole nother like income play, right?
Yeah. I've always wondered what the incentives are for a sponsor of a virtual event, unless they're
email
mentioned.
List.
I guess they're part of the email autoresponder list.
Yep.
right? Or the email list. Yeah. I don't even know how much you could charge, to be honest with you, for a virtual event for sponsors. I'll have to ask.
I feel like for sponsors, so I would say, like, if you're trying this, don't get sponsors on your first event.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Like that, this is not, that's not the money play. But if you've had two events, let's just say, and you're like, hey, we had 1,500 live attendees, we had 10,000 people sign up, we sold, 2,000 recording passes, whatever, you have numbers to back it up. A company is like, oh, I can just give you $1,000, $2,000. I don't have to send anybody. I don't have to pay for airfare. I don't have to pay for a hotel. I don't have to pay employee costs, right? I can just send an offer in the newsletter and get mentioned. Like, no brainer.
I was just thinking, like, I could do a virtual event to sell books. If I didn't have Seller Summit, I would do this. It'd be pretty easy to do. And yeah, you just buy a book, you get the recordings.
Yeah. Listen, just buy a book, people, so I don't have to hear about this anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, it does sound very appealing now that we've talked this out. So anyone out there listening who wants to build up their list fast and, potentially make a good amount of money, it's entirely doable, actually, with very little tech, very little upfront risk. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.